This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
Cut
on every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Had a good Tuesday morning, May the 18th, 2021, to you and yours. The show, of course, is DCR. We take you till 8 o'clock. That's when KJZ takes over. Let's say good morning to the guys. Lot to get into. I mean, tons to get into. A little CMT, our version of CMT at 6:45 this morning. And let's say good morning to Chris Canty. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Actually, I got a nosebleed last night.
Say more. What happened?
I don't know. It's nothing nefarious, but
okay.
I think my allergies getting the best of me here. I think a little dryness and yeah, always disconcerting when you see blood coming out of the nose. But I'm okay. I'm here. I'm ready to go.
All right.
Yep.
Just a little bit of a concern. I mean, a nosebleed for you could be lethal.
What does that mean?
I'll let you figure it out.
Wow.
Good morning, Carlos.
Wow. He's saying you're no Kevin Pillar.
Yes. Yeah, both Kevin Pillar and I had vicious nosebleeds last night.
Except you didn't take 94 to the grill.
No, that is true. Good morning, Chris Carlin, in for Rick DiPietro. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, look at you. You've really adjusted to these early hours beautifully.
Yeah, and today's the last day, so good luck with this.
So if they came to you and said, listen, we love what you've done. We'd like you to either be a fourth on the show or replace one of the guys that's currently on the show. But these are your hours. You know, wake up 3:30, got to go to bed 9:30. Welcome aboard. Big money though on the other side. You taking this?
There are some. Yeah, I mean, what those
I was
numbers
able to get out there and
yeah, what those numbers look like and who I'm replacing, I think, would be probably a concern in there as well. I really enjoy working with Chris a lot, and boy, Rick was a lot of fun last week. So, yeah.
All right. So, should I just log off here? I got Canty taking shots. I got you taking shots.
Well, Dave, you're the one that's trying to Wally Pitt one of us. You're talking about Carlin replacing somebody that's on the show.
I said if you became a fourth on the show. If they decided we need more people, let's add more people to the show. A fourth person on the show. You're replacing no one. Your voice is just being heard with the three of us now.
Do they do four people radio shows?
Oh, ESPN is very in very creative with what they can put together.
All right. I didn't know that was a thing, Dave.
I'd say this. I don't know, given the fact that I'm an acquired taste to begin with, I don't know that mine is the voice that you want to wake up with, consistently at least. I can be a bit much for myself, let alone you guys.
Are there ever times when you're disgusted with yourself?
Oh, are you kidding me? I live in it. I swim in it. There are absolutely times I'm disgusted with myself. There have to be times that you have gotten sick of yourself over the last year. Now, I don't mean you specifically. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Wish you could take a vacation from yourself. Like, absolutely. Leave me alone already.
Get me the hell away from this
guy. And you're here again?
Oh, no question. Yeah, exactly.
I can't deal with you anymore. You're the worst. Oh, yeah. Not only over the last year.
Come on, shut up.
Yeah, no, I've had that many, many times in my lifetime. All right, so let's get into a little bit of the sports stuff. 800-919-3776. Of course, we're going to get into the Knicks a little bit later. Nets and Kyrie Irving as well. We'll start with the baseball, though. Injuries. Injuries, and a loss for the Yankees last night. And Canty, I was saying it when we had our little pre-show meeting. When you're losing these games with Gerrit Cole on the mound, again, not concerning. I think you're fine. But it's like, These are the games that you expect to win if you're the Yankees.
No, they absolutely are. I mean, you circle those starts because you're assuming that Gerrit Cole is going to be able to give you a quality start, 6 to 7 innings of 2-run ball or better. And last night, he just got touched up by the Rangers. Like, it's not something that you would expect, but that's what happened. I mean, he gave up some hard contact, and you just realized it was going to be one of those nights where he didn't have his best stuff. So it's unfortunate that you drop one of his starts because we know how valuable they are, especially with some of the question marks that the Yankees still have in their rotation. But, I mean, those games are bound to happen. Like, that is what it is. I mean, the guy can't be perfect every single time out. I think the thing that's the most concerning as a Yankees fan is Stanton going on the IL. Like, that's just, like, you're tired of having to deal with injuries to guys that are supposed to be a major part of your lineup. This guy is supposed to be your everyday DH, and you're just wondering, okay, if the Yankees are trying to be proactive about keeping him healthy and giving him days off, and we're still dealing with injuries, is that strategy, is that approach the right one as we continue to progress throughout the season?
And, Carly, you know what's amazing to me? Just stop lying to me. Stop lying to me. Yeah. I mean, they do it consistently. Stop telling me he's fine, he's going to miss a day, you have nothing to worry about, don't worry, he'll be back. No! He's not fine. He probably never was fine. I understand that you're trying to play it close to the vest, but stop lying to me, for God's sakes.
And the way they've handled it is very Metsian of probably the 5 or 6 year period before that. It's, we're going to go day to day, we're going to ride this out a little bit, we're going to see where it's at, and you end up playing shorthanded, and that drives you insane. Like, it's one thing to not have the guy, but then to short yourself for a few days when you're dealing with a soft tissue injury with the guy that is one big pile of soft tissue. I mean, you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You know the guy you're dealing with. And I thought it was not funny, but just appropriate that Boone would say yesterday, yeah, well, you know, we put him on there and he understands he's probably better off doing it, you know, now to avoid something bigger. Well, what about 4 days ago? You know what I mean? I mean, yes, you can do it retroactively, but it's not just in this instance, but it's in a lot of instances of putting yourself in the situation of playing short. That drives me insane.
And it's always something. It's always something. And you know what? They actually need him now. Like, how many times in the past, you know, he's hitting 177. You're like, all right, well, you know, you lose him for 10 days or 2 weeks. It's not that big a deal. He's your best player. And if not your best player, your second best player. So now he goes down. I have Gary Sanchez hitting fifth last night. Like, Gary Sanchez is hitting less than 200. Look at the bottom of that Yankees lineup. Remember the day a couple years ago when you look at the Yankees lineup, you're like, God, this is murderer's row. Mm-hmm. And I have Gardner batting ninth. Now I have Gardner batting sixth, and he actually had a couple hits last night. But, God, this is not a daunting lineup anymore for the Yankees.
No, it's not a daunting lineup, and there's not a lot of guys that you feel confident about in terms of their approach when they get in the batter's box. Guys are struggling right now up and down the lineup, and so this is a big blow for the Yankees because Stanton was a guy – you know, a couple of weeks ago that was carrying your offense. Dave, he's got a slash line of 282, 347, 534. He's got 6 doubles, 9 home runs, and 24 RBIs. Like, that's what he was capable of doing a quarter of the way through the season. So, I mean, this is one of those things where you're looking at it and you're saying, man, this is a big part of it. I mean, you can make an argument that this is one of the best starts that Stanton has gotten out to in a season since he's been a Yankee. And to have that interrupted with dealing with an IL stint now, and God knows how long this is going to last, it's frustrating. But, you know, that being said, you know, we're still on the right side of 500 with this team, and you just know that as the season goes on, you're going to get reinforcements. This team will get better. You'll start to add pieces to your starting rotation. Well, I think the Yankees will be in a much better spot a month from now than they are right now. And that's the same thing that we were saying back in April. But it's just frustrating when you have these little blips with injuries to key parts of your team. And you really don't have any definitive answers because, like Carlin was pointing out, it's hard to take the Yankees at their word when they're talking about projections dealing with injuries.
And what drives me particularly nuts about it now is you're actually in a position where the Aaron Hicks injury really, really, really hurts. And not just because he was playing well, but because of center field and because of all that he kind of represents. Like, it's his importance to the team overall is not just you know, that he could potentially hit. I think, you know, for the most part in his career as a Yankee, that hasn't exactly been what you would have hoped it would be. But what he can do defensively allows you to do the other things. Like, that was the idea behind being able to play Clint Frazier in left consistently. He can't hit a beach ball right now. Gardner would have been your fourth outfielder. He's going to play every day. I look at that situation, and I do wonder, Chris and Dave, like, how they are going to navigate this for the entirety of the year. I'm not saying that they're not going to win a division, they're not going to make the playoffs, but the entirety of the season, are they going to get better? Like, those reinforcements, are they truly reinforcements, or are they just guys who are coming back who we're not going to get a whole lot more from than they were really given before? And, you know, Stanton was playing well, but when can you count on that continuing? It's almost like when he, it might be unfair to him, but it's almost like when he was playing well, all right, when's he going to get hurt?
Yeah, but how's that unfair?
It's not. Maybe it's not.
That's where we've been led.
Be diplomatic. It's not unfair. It's
not unfair at all. I mean, how many times? I think it's the same thing with Judge. I don't think it's unfair. I think continuously when the same guys get hurt over and over and over again and wind up on the injured list, that's your thought process. Is it's only a matter of time before they get hurt. I don't think that's unfair of you at all.
No, that's not unfair. It's not unfair at all. But I guess the biggest thing is, like, are you going to be able to get enough out of those guys while they are in the lineup for this team to get to where they want to go? Like, that remains the biggest question. Like, okay, if you only get 120 games from Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, is that going to be enough for this Yankees team to win their division and position themselves to be able to go on a postseason run? Like, that's the question. Like, it's just a matter of production, because it's not a matter of whether or not these guys are going to get hurt. We've seen that, you know, throughout the last couple of years. Like, that's going to happen. So it's just a matter of, can the Yankees manage it? Can they mitigate their absences enough to where the production that you do get from those guys when they're in the lineup is going to lead to you being where you want to be?
And then, listen, I don't mean to just completely rip Sanchez up, because it's an easy thing to do. He had a good weekend, back to wearing the collar yesterday. And, you know, as you mentioned, he's hitting fifth in the lineup. You know, that's troubling enough right now, but right back to an 0-for-4. You know, a hot streak would not kill you.
No. I mean, you got him hitting 5. You got Gardner, who's hitting less than 206. You got Frazier hitting 150 at 7. You got Higashioka hitting 185 8th. I mean, the bottom of that lineup is is not exactly murderer's row for the Yankees right now.
I just laugh. Like, Michael gave the stat during the game. The Yankees catchers lead Major League Baseball in home runs. And when you hear something like that, you figure, oh, well, okay, that's just combining the 9 home runs from Sanchez to the 1 for Higashioka. No, it's 5-5. It's 5-5. Higashioka has as many home runs as Gary Sanchez does right now.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's fair to say, and I'll say it, I think Higashioka is better than Gary Sanchez right now.
I agree. And the thing is, you should be able, with this team, to weather the storm offensively, to deal with whatever Higashioka gives you at the plate, because he is better behind the plate.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. PCR.
I live out in western New Jersey. I live out past Princeton.
Oh, yeah, that's a hike right there.
Yeah, very far. Anybody is welcome out here anytime you like. I've got a little fire pit. I've got a smallish pool. I've got cable.
You don't want us to go.
I absolutely do.
You're not defining I'd love for you guys to come over. You just like when any people happen to stop by and come over. Make an offer and throw it down here.
All right, Memorial Day. Come on over.
Yeah, I can't make it.
Yeah.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. The show is DCR. Rick out today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Carlin, doing yeoman's work. Terrific.
What
job
is a yeoman?
Great question, Carlin. Every time people say that, I have no idea what they're talking about.
I guess it's a positive, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I take it as a positive. I just don't know what a yeoman is.
I don't think a yeoman is like a person or a thing. I think it's a descriptor.
Maybe
it's an adjective?
I thought it was a person. I thought it was.
You think like Joe Yeoman? Like
yeah. And I'll tell you what. I actually just retweeted this. You know what looks like a yeoman? Sean Reed Foley on the post game last night. Take a look at Twitter. The look he has got, a cut off tee, exposing the tatted up arms and completely shaven. Like, it's not a good look. It's like he looks like the guy that's at my pool party.
Mm.
That's what he looks like. Yes.
Along with the Yeoman family.
Yes.
The Yeomans.
Yes. Did you look up Yeoman, by the way?
Yeah, that is.
You're not kidding, by the way. The mustache.
Oh, it's.
The shaved head, the cut off t-shirt. Yeah, no.
Straight out of Alabama.
Like that kind of party.
Yeah, that's a party. Did you look up Yeoman, by the way?
I'm looking it up right now.
How do you think you spell Yeoman? Is there an E?
Yes, there is. And I actually knew how to spell that. Y-E-O-M-A-N. Yeoman, it's a noun, Dave. Historical. A man holding and cultivating a small landed estate. A freeholder.
Well, congratulations.
Or a servant in a royal or noble household, ranking between a sergeant and a groom, or a squire and a page.
There you go.
So that's Chris Carlin the last couple of days.
Yeoman's work. All right. Got it. So Carlin has stumbled upon the odds for the opening round series, which are already set for the NBA postseason. I have no idea what they are. Canty, we didn't even tell you because we didn't want you to get a chance to look ahead.
Okay.
Chris, are you ready?
Yeah, so this is for the four series that are set.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to do the Knicks last? Or do you?
Yeah, I think we
save
the Knicks for last. Now, we're doing this on a money line basis, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Odds to win the series.
Okay.
And there is one very live number in here.
Okay, so give us these series. Walk us through them.
All right, so we obviously have in the East.
Well, let's just start with the first one. Go ahead. In the East, we have.
The Bucks and the Heat.
The Bucks and the Heat.
3-6.
3-6. I'm going to say Milwaukee is minus 180.
Mr. Canty.
I'm going to say they're minus 140.
Milwaukee, minus 320.
Wow.
The Heat are plus 250.
Wow, and they beat them last postseason.
Yeah,
that's what
I don't
we
know
call
how I feel
live.
About that. Wow.
Wow.
Let's jump on the train. Let's go.
That line would suggest that the Bucks got something on their mind. Like, this is a different Bucks team.
That's giving a lot of respect to Drew Holiday.
Yeah, yeah. But, Dave, we talked about it, though. This Bucks team looks a little bit different than they did in years past. They do.
I'll give you that. But to be 3-1 favorites to win the series?
Versus the team that represented the East in the NBA Finals last year. I feel like that is a little bit disrespectful to the Heat.
That's a big number. All right, so we could not have been more way off base on that one.
Right. You want to talk disrespectful. This is disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Out West, the Nuggets and the Blazers, the 3-6 series. Go.
Now I don't know. I'm completely off my game. Nuggets, Blazers, 3-6 series. I'll say the Nuggets are minus Jamal Murray. I'm going to stick with what I said with Milwaukee. I'm going to say they're minus 180.
I'm going to go minus 220.
The Denver Nuggets are minus 115.
It's almost even money in this series.
Wow.
The Blazers are minus 105 in that series.
Wow.
If you're the Nuggets, that's remarkable.
Dame time.
Wow. Who do you like in that series?
I'll tell you what, like at that number, that's not, again, not bad value on the Nuggets. I love Dame Lillard. I would never want to bet against Dame Lillard. So...
Yeah, but still, I don't trust McCollum and Nurkic. I just don't.
Yeah,
I would take Denver in that series.
Yeah, all right. You would barely have to lay any odds. All right, next up.
Clippers and Mavericks, 4-5 out West.
All right, another rematch of last postseason. I'm completely off my game here.
These are, by the way,
come on,
Rothenberg.
Come on, Rothenberg.
These are the lines that are on Caesars William Hill.
I'm going to say the Clippers are minus 170.
I'm going to go Clips minus 200.
The Clippers are minus 450.
What?
Wow.
Yes. I give up.
The Mavericks plus 350.
Well, you know we're not cheating. If
right,
nothing
exactly,
else.
Exactly.
Minus 450.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Boy, I'm very
like I'm double checking
this.
Myself. Am I sure that this is this year?
Yeah, you're looking at right? the 2021 postseason, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, playoff rondo, I guess.
Wow. I can't that in a 4-5 matchup.
Yep. In a 4-5 matchup.
Okay. All right, and that brings us to the New York Knicks.
Correct.
And the Atlanta Hawks.
4-5 in the East. The Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, you know it's not going to be well thought out by us. I'm going to say the Knicks are a narrow favorite. I'm going to say the Knicks are minus 140.
I'm going to say the Knicks are minus 110.
The New York Knicks are plus 100.
So the Hawks,
are minus 120? The Hawks are minus 120, so they are a slight favorite in the series.
All right,
interesting.
So now, does that calm down all of the Knicks fans, and Carlin as well, that says this would be a massive disappointment if the Knicks were to lose the series?
The majority of us are saying that based off of the fact that the Knicks swept them during the regular series, as a regular season.
Which means nothing.
Exactly. So with that being the case, it should. You should look at that and say, well, maybe I'm not giving the Hawks nearly enough credit. Maybe I need to look at this a little bit more clearly. Having said that, it's a massive disappointment if the Knicks loses.
No, it's not.
It's not,
this
Carlin.
This is such a horrendous take.
I'm joking. It's disappointing because they are capable of winning this series. That's all.
But how disappointing is it on a coin flip series heading into it?
It would be really disappointing if they lost in 4 or 5.
You want to tell me they get swept and that's really disappointing? I'll give you that.
You wouldn't be disappointed if they lost in 5?
I'd be disappointed if they lost in 5.
Yeah.
I'd probably be upset if they lost the series regardless of I'm always upset when the Knicks lose or one of my teams loses. I think it's unfair to put this whole massive disappointment absolutely have to beat Atlanta in a best of 7 series. They have home court. They're not even the favorite to win the series.
Here's the thing. We all look at it because they have spoiled us this year with what they have done. And the style with which they play gives you remarkable faith in their ability to win this series. And it is the only matchup that anybody looked at and really felt like they had a great chance. So that's why people feel the way that they do.
By the way, this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. But here's the thing, and Canty, I think you agree. They don't have a great chance. They might win the series. This is a flip of the coin series in Las Vegas. In fact, the Knicks are slightly underdogs. So losing the series, as upsetting as it might be because you think you're just much better than Atlanta, not a lot of people around the country see it like that.
No, Dave, but I think to Carlin's point, of the potential first-round matchups that the Knicks could have gotten,
totally
like, this is the one where they have the best chance to compete and potentially win, and the fact that they do have home court advantage, the Knicks are really, really good at Madison Square Garden, so you feel like that's a feather in the cap if it's going to be a long series, and there's no reason for us to think that it wouldn't be a long series because the Knicks did sweep the regular season matchups with the Hawks, so you're thinking that this is going to go 6 or 7 games, and if the deciding factor is having games 7 at Madison Square Garden, you like the Knicks' chances, especially the way that this team defends. So, I mean, I trust this Knicks team because we've seen them give consistent effort and energy, and we know that they have, you know, that playoff type of intensity, especially when it comes to the way that they play defense. It's just a matter of what version are you going to get from some of the guys that are going to have to be role players or significant contributors in order to win this series. Like, what version of Derrick Rose are you going to get? Like, the Derrick Rose that we got the last week and a half is not what you want. Like, you know, there are going to be some young guys, R.J. Barrett. Like, what are we going to see from him in this series? Like, those guys are going to be important in terms of determining the outcome of this series against the Hawks. Because, Dave, let's face it. Like, the Atlanta Hawks, from a talent standpoint, are better than the New York Knicks. So it's going to have to be guys stepping up and being those, you know, having those moments in order for this Knicks team to be able to advance past the first round.
Absolutely. And that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, Brian Windhorst was on Bart and Hahn yesterday. Were you hosting that, Carlin?
I was.
Oh, so you're going to know all about this soundbite here then?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah, you sure do. And he says the Knicks are becoming a destination right now.
Any other player could wake up and say, I want to be a Knick, and the Knicks have the capacity to do it. And they play in New York, and they're developing their guys, and they are run by agents now who have a long history with a lot of players in the league. And people are going to look at what's happened to Julius Randle. They're going to look at how RJ Barrett has developed. They're going to look at Emmanuel Quickley, and they're going to think about being a part of that. I think the key for the Knicks is what they are doing right now is working. They are developing players. They are drafting players. I'm not sure going and trading for a guy in his 30s that may be past his prime, if that's what happens, is the move.
It probably is not the move at this point. So what not is that? Yet. Is that saying you don't want Lillard? How old is Lillard now?
Lillard's 31. Are we talking about trading for Lillard at that point? You know,
you'd have to give a boatload for Lillard.
Yeah. You certainly, I mean, Barrett's going to be in there, right?
You'd have to
figure. Who else is the picks? You're going to be giving up some picks.
Which there's not tremendous value right now.
I mean, Lillard just got a contract extension like a year or two ago, if I'm not mistaken.
And he becomes your guy. You are now built around Lillard and Julius Randle. Those are your two guys for the foreseeable future now.
I would much rather them go in a direction of getting a younger guy. Not to say that you wouldn't love to have Damian Lillard, but when you consider the assets that you'd have to give up, I just feel like if you go with a younger guy like Lonzo Ball, it would make a little more sense in terms of your timeline and being able to extend that window to compete at a high level a little bit longer. That's just me.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You have to look at this more like what the Nets did. You have to, like, they developed all of that talent for a while, and then when they were ready to make that move, after they were able to lure free agents, they went and were able to make that trade because they had done all that they had done with Caris LeVert and Jared Allen and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to do it with Lillard right away, you're jumping the gun.
Yeah, you're going to have to win right away. And I don't know that they're at that point right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
We want to go with the NFL power rankings, which were literally just released, or Kyrie Irving and what he had to say yesterday.
Kyrie, Dave, that's the gift that keeps giving. I vote Kyrie.
Okay. Carlin?
I don't know how you don't go Kyrie here.
Okay. Let's go Kyrie here. He wants you to understand he doesn't want to talk about basketball, though. Here is Kyrie Irving.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. A lot of stuff is going on in this world, and basketball is just not the most important thing to me right now. There's a lot of stuff going on overseas. All my people are still in bondage all across the world, and there's a lot of dehumanization going on. So, you know, I apologize if I'm not going to be focused on y'all questions. You know, it's just too much going on in the world for me to just be talking about basketball. Like, I got focused on this shit 24/7 most of the time, but it's just too much going on in this world not to address. You know, it's sad to see going on. And it's not just in Palestine. It's not just in Israel. It's all over the world, man. And I feel it. I'm very compassionate to all races, all cultures, and to see a lot of different people being discriminated from upon or against being discriminated against based on their religion, color of their skin, what they believe in. It's just sad. You know, we all say we're human beings and we care and we're compassionate, but you know, what are you doing to help?
Now, Canty, I hear that, and in some way I listen to it, I'm like, boy, it's really well thought out, and it's a smart guy. But on the other hand, I think, you know, your job is as a basketball player, and you're asked these questions, and I think we're kind of deserved some of the answers. So I kind of feel both ways about listening to him there.
No, I understand where Kyrie is coming from, but his responsibilities to the Brooklyn Nets as one of their employees, as a basketball player, is to answer the questions for the media, to make yourself available for those sessions, and you know, neglecting those responsibilities have repercussions. You saw the NBA fine not only him, but the organization. Like, at some point, you not talking to the media becomes a distraction, and it detracts from all of the positive things that you're out here in the community doing. Like, use the media as a way to amplify your message. Like, you can talk to them a little bit about basketball, but in doing that, you also open the door to be able to talk about all the things that you're passionate about, all the things that are going on in the world that you would like to see changed. So I get where Kyrie is coming from. I understand that, you know, the different traumas, you know, impact people differently. People process that stuff differently. I understand it. I respect it. But he also has to understand, like, this is a part of your job responsibility, and there's really no way around it.
You know, just use the platform in the right way. That's all. And I absolutely respect and appreciate everything that he does. But, like, there's a time and place, isn't there? There's a way to use it in a way that, you know, gets what you want, gets what everybody wants out of it. But Kyrie does not care.
That's right.
About a damn thing but whatever he's caring about in the moment. And if that's the way he is, that's fine. I guess my point would be, if you want to go and do all these great things and take care of what's going on in the world and raise awareness, more power to you. That's awesome. This is a job. It is a responsibility.
But not to him. I don't think he sees it like that.
No, he doesn't, because I can appreciate it, whether the time that he took off during the year was mental health related or whatever it is. I can appreciate if that was a problem. You know, at the time, remember, he popped up on the Zoom for a political candidate's fundraiser, all that stuff. That's fine. Then if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Give up the money. If you don't want to play basketball, if you truly don't care about basketball in the grand scheme, don't do it.
Well, I don't think he doesn't care about basketball. I think he loves basketball, but I mean, a part of his responsibilities as a player in the NBA is the media availability.
Yes.
And I think he's got no time for that, but he understands, because he's a high-ranking member in the union. Like, he understands, like, that's a part of their obligations contractually. Like, he understands that, but I just think that's the part of it that's the part that he blows off. What I don't understand, though, Carlin, is why not make yourself available at the media session and answer the question the way you want to answer it? Like, people can ask you questions about basketball, but you can talk about all the things that you're doing out in the community. You don't have to answer the question that they're asking.
Why can't you do both? Why can't you answer the question they're asking and then move on to topics that you care about? He has an open forum. Everyone, if he has a statement to make or wants to say something, everyone is going to listen to it. Why can't he do both? Why every step of the way does he have to say, I don't care about you?
But Dave, I think in his mind, what he's saying is, I love playing basketball, but when we start talking about having the conversations about what's going on, I think that he's saying, why are you asking me about basketball when there are so many other pressing things that you should be asking me about as a member of the media?
Because he's a basketball player. It's their job.
It's a slippery slope to try to get inside the mind of Kyrie Irving, but I'm just doing my best attempt to give the other side of it and what he might be thinking. Maybe he's saying that there's so many other issues that we should have more urgency about than a basketball game.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Chris, I actually think you're right. I mean, look, the fact that there's, you know, the famine and there's war and there's disease and all these things, you think, you know, we're getting crazy about basketball, but it's our thing. It's what we care about. But he, at every step of the way, tells you, I mean, this is his job, right? At the end of the day, this is why he gets paid. So I don't understand why he can't do both. I understand that he wants to talk about the other things, and I'm all for that. And I think that he has such a big platform. That's great that he wants to do that and that he does do that. But, I mean, come on. Well, he's shocked that they want to know what he thinks about, you know, the 2-7 matchup. That's what people care about with him.
No, I understand that, Dave. But in his mind, maybe that diminishes, you know, what he's trying to do out here if he takes time to answer questions about basketball when there's so many other things that he's focused on that he's passionate about.
That's great.
Maybe that's how he sees it.
If it is how he sees it, I get it, but it's not how he should look at it, because it is, you do need at some point to recognize the reason that you have the platform to make a difference is basketball. And the people who are there want to hear your thoughts about this. I mean, I don't know what the, you know, specifics are in the NBA's, you know, player the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to the media and responsibilities and all that, okay? But you can do both. You can do both, and you can do it exceptionally effectively. And frankly, you're going to get more of what you want out of it when you give what you give what they want. You know, they're more willing to help you out and give you what you're looking for. And I admire what he does, because I don't think Kyrie is a guy that just talks and doesn't do anything to back it up.
No,
I think
he's Kyrie, not a dumb guy. Like, yes. he's an intellectual guy.
Yeah.
But I just think, to sit here and tell me all the time that I'm better than you, right, which is what he does to the media, and I don't care what you think, and I'm only talking to you because I'm forced to talk to you. I mean, how is anybody supposed to have any defense of the stuff that he's interested and wants to talk about?
Well, I don't think the stuff that he wants to talk about needs any defense, Dave.
It doesn't.
Yeah. I think from Kyrie's perspective, it's just that, you know, when you're asking him questions, he would prefer those questions be about the work that he's doing in the community as opposed to a basketball game that, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really matter that much because it's an entertainment product. I think that's how he's looking at it. But
and Carlin, I guess I would just come back and say, why can't you do both? Why can't you do both things?
Because to try to put those things on the same level when he's at the same media session answering questions is disrespectful to the causes that he's passionate about. Again, this is me trying to get inside the mind of Kyrie Irving. I'm not saying I've spoken to Kyrie Irving. I don't know anybody that knows Kyrie Irving. I'm just saying what it potentially could be. I think that's how he sees it. If you're answering questions about basketball and at the same time talking about the stuff that you're advocating for, maybe in his world, that diminishes the causes that he's trying to affect positive change with.
But even the way he delivers the message to, the other problem with it is this. It comes across as, you guys are asking me about basketball. Basketball doesn't matter. You don't matter. What I'm doing is much
exactly
more important.
What he's doing.
And he's talking down to you. You shouldn't care about basketball. You should care about what I care about, and that's you know, changing the world. And frankly, in the grand scheme, he's not wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also understand that their job is not to write about all of that stuff. Their job is to write and report on basketball. So you're hindering them from doing the job. Just if you want to get to those causes, I don't understand why somebody hasn't explained to him, or he just hasn't listened or cared. You will get more out of this if you play that game.
You don't think that the New York, if he called the New York Times, right, his people called the New York Times and said, Kyrie wants to do a full interview and he doesn't want to mention basketball in it. He just wants to talk about what's going on in the world and human rights violations and attacks on countries and all that kind of stuff. You don't think that he would get that platform?
No, I think he absolutely would get that platform. But, Dave, to something that Carlin just said, I don't think Kyrie Irving wants to play the game with the media.
Yeah,
that's obvious.
I think that he feels like he's above that. So that's not something that he has any interest in getting involved with. And I can understand that from a player's perspective. But I always come back to, you have an obligation to the NBA, to the Brooklyn Nets, to your teammates, to try to make yourself available for those media sessions. Because if for no other reason, Dave, to keep it from being a distraction or keep it from taking away from what your team is trying to accomplish. Like, it doesn't hurt you to stand in front of a microphone, and when you're asked questions, whether it's about basketball or it's about anything else, you answer them the way that you want to answer. Like, if you're there at the podium, that's all that you're responsible for. Like, we saw with Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl a few years back. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Guess what? He didn't get fined. He can answer the questions any way you want. So I don't – that's the part of it that doesn't make sense from a former player's perspective. Like, I don't get why you just don't sit up there and answer the questions the way that you want.
Because he can't do it. He can't play the game without...
That's not even playing the game, though, Dave. That's not even, you can ask me a question, and I can give you an answer that has nothing to do with the question you asked me. That's not playing your game.
Politicians have been doing it for hundreds of years.
That's what I'm saying. I don't honestly,
at this point, why do you need to be a jerk every time to the media? You're beneath me. I don't need to hear that every time you open your mouth. Really, it's very disrespectful at this point, no?
I mean, he's not directly saying it. There's a tone to it.
He has said it in the past, though. He has said it.
Yeah, there's a tone.
He ain't the only player in professional sports that feels that way, though.
No, yeah. Far from it.
Yeah.
Far from it. But the thing that ultimately gets, I think that has happened the most in respect to this, is that the media was the conduit to the fans, and that's why these, whatever, you know, fines were in place or whatever in the CBAs before, that's why they were there, because the fans are who we care about the most, ultimately. Now players have their own ways
they can,
to
they can have their own outlets without even using the media. DCR, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We'll get to your calls on this at just after 7 o'clock, 800-919-3776. I think people are pretty tired. This would be my guess of Kyrie Irving, but we will find out what you guys have to say in just a couple minutes. But first, let's lighten it up a little bit and have a little CM.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes. Another Tuesday and another CMT. I appreciate that.
We will play the incorrect way again, right?
As I've said, this will be the way the years from now that everyone plays.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to take some time.
Revolutionary.
You think that we are trend-setting the CMT game.
Or you guys will get sick of it and we'll go back to the old way. One of those two things will happen. But Tom Thibodeau, one of the front runners for Coach of the Year, I think we can all agree there. We often say who votes on these things and we like when they put their name on it. Well, Brian Windhorst was on Barton Hahn or Barton Carlin or someone, and he did just that yesterday.
Considering what Tom Thibodeau got out of that roster. Guys, they're in fourth against ahead of some teams that are really good teams. The Hawks have a bunch of talent on that roster. There's one of the deepest teams in the league. The Celtics, that's a very talented team. The Heat, how talented they are. The Knicks are in front of all of them. And Tibbs was on my number one line when I submitted my Coach of the Year ballot. I think he's got a great chance of winning. But even if he doesn't, it was a spectacular year that he did for that team.
So, there you have it. There's a guy that actually voted for Tom Thibodeau to win Coach of the Year. I'm not asking you guys if you think he can win it, if you hope he wins it. Cuddle, marry, or trash expecting Tom Thibodeau to win Coach of the Year.
Expecting him to win Coach of the Year. All right. I'm going to marry it. I think that Tom Thibodeau will be your NBA Coach of the Year. I think Monty Williams is second, but you know what? I marry it. I believe that he's your Coach of the Year in 2021. And you know what? I think deservingly so. He has done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, I'm going to marry that one as well. And Dave, you're right. Monty Williams is the only other coach that would be right there on that level with him. But the turnaround, based on the expectations that we have for the Knicks coming into this season, them being back in the playoffs first time since 2013, I think that's what puts him over the top. Being able to exercise those demons at Madison Square Garden and get this program turned around is going to give him the nod for Coach of the Year.
I'm going to cuddle it. I don't trust the media. The media is the worst.
You're like Kyrie Irving.
You're Kyrie over here.
Okay. Exactly.
You want to talk about something else?
No, I think there's going to be a bias out. Exactly. I want to change topics. No. I think there's going to be a little bit of a bias out west. And I think when people are voting and look at it as a whole, they may not look at the Knicks and appreciate the entirety of the situation. I'm hoping he wins, but I'm going to cuddle.
What was the, Carlin, you seem to be the gambler on the show now that I've retired.
See, this is not true.
Do you have any idea what Phoenix's over-under was coming into the season?
No clue. I'll see if I can find that out prior to the next.
Okay. RJ, continue along.
Oh, sure. So you guys touched earlier on Luis Rojas. Not a lot of faith in him long-term. The Mets, the injuries are actually incredible. Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Carrasco, Conforto, McNeil. Now Taiwan Walker, Kevin Pillar got hit in the face. There's others. We could be here all day. Seth Lugo. So, I know that you guys aren't real high on Luis Rojas, but I'll ask you this. Despite all of that, and the Mets, I believe they're last in baseball run scored. And despite all of it, they're in first place right now in the division. So, I'll ask you this. Cuddle, marry, or trash the Mets as a first place team when the season ends? Have you seen enough?
Well, RJ, in the interest of take integrity and our predictions at the start of baseball season, I will marry the Mets being a first place team at the end of the season. Listen, this is a division that we thought could be one of the best in baseball coming into the season. It hasn't played out like that, but the one thing that the Mets do well, man, that starting pitching staff, when they're healthy, like, they're one of the best in baseball. And I feel like that's something that you can hang your hat on. They have an identity, which is more than you can say for a lot of the other teams in the division. So I'm going to marry the Mets as a first place team at the end of the year in the NL East.
I can't marry it. I took the Braves to win the division, but I'll tell you what I can do at this point. About a quarter of the way through, I will cuddle it. I think DeGrom comes back, and I trust in him, obviously. Syndergaard, you have to figure at some point in June, is going to come back. Carrasco as well. Lugo as well. I think if they can tread water right now, and let's be fair, Atlanta has not been good. I think Atlanta's, a couple of games under 500 yep. right now. So, yeah, I'm not convinced they win the division, like Canty marrying it, but I will cuddle the Mets to be in first place at the end of the season.
I'm going to trash that. And it's not that I think the Mets will make the postseason. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think the Braves will ultimately win the division. Their bullpen's been bad so far, and they've had their injury issues. But I think ultimately the Braves win the division. Trash it.
All right.
Ron, by the way, it was 38.5 for Phoenix. 38.5.
And they won how many?
51.
51.
So they were plus, what, 14?
And 12 and a half. Plus 12 and a half?
12 and a half. Yep, 12 and a half. And the Knicks were plus, what, 20? 19?
19.
Yeah, what, 41 wins to 22.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Impressive. So there you go.
So Ron Wolf is a name that some Jets fans are familiar with.
Mm.
He had some words for some quarterbacks. He was asked about Aaron Rodgers, and this is on the Big Show Network. This is out in Wisconsin. He said that he's a diva, among others, and here was kind of some of the logic behind his thoughts.
But there's a huge change, and it started with Russell Wilson, then went to Watson, and now we got Rodgers. And it appears that today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. You know, at my time, they're hired to play the position quarterback. That's what they're being paid for, and that's what they're being paid to do. But these guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. It's an interesting dilemma.
So, Ron Wolf going after all the quarterbacks. Cuddle, marry, or trash, Ron Wolf's take.
Oh, I got some strong feelings about this one. But go ahead, big fella. I'm going to defer to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this. Old man shakes fist at cloud. I mean, you know, come on. Times do change, Ron. Times do change. And it's about player empowerment right now. Yeah. Yeah. Trashing that take.
I will agree. I'm gonna trash it as well. I hate the in my day, this is how it used to be. Well, it's not your day, and it's not where we are anymore. And quarterbacks have a lot of power, and Rodgers and Wilson and Watson and we've seen it. So yeah, I don't agree at all. I will trash that take.
Shame on these NFL players for wanting to be treated as partners with this business. Shame on them for wanting that. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous, Ron Wolf's take on this. Like, for so many years, players had no say. They had to just shut up and take whatever contract that was offered to them, not having any leverage. And now quarterbacks recognizing their value and star players recognizing their value, they're starting to exercise that a little bit. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Ron Wolf is tripping with that take.
Back in my day, we used to walk uphill to school both ways. Well,
yeah. In the snow.
Yeah,
it's not your day anymore, Ron.
Yeah. How about NFL teams honoring contracts and not cutting guys?
Right?
How about
what happened? What was his name? Can't think. Juwan James, is that his name?
Juwan James, yeah. How about that?
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
If you're a player.
Gets hurt working out and you're like, yeah, we're not going to pay him.
If you're a player, why would you ever not work out in the team facility? Ever?
Because you might not live in that city, Dave, well, in the offseason.
You know what? I mean, maybe you don't work out then, really.
How many players showed up yesterday for the Jets? Like 80?
80-something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but they got a new head coach, though. So, you know, guys are trying to make a good first impression.
But I bet you there were some guys that were thinking about not necessarily showing up that once Juwan James got cut, you know what, I'll pop in.
You'll pop it. You'll check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Harlan, since you're the guest on the show, we greatly appreciate having you, but you're not going to be with us the rest of the week. Would you like to, please, when you're sleeping at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be like, oh, I wish I was with the guys. Stop it. Would you like to give away the Jets tickets now? Do you want to make people wait a couple minutes? I'll leave it in your hands.
Sit tight. We'll get to you. Just, you know, be paying attention. Understand that when the sounder comes, that's the moment.
Which
you respond in the moment.
Which I think is going to happen at any point very soon.
Yes.
Very, very, very soon. All right.
Keep listening.
Yeah,
lock
that's
it.
Right. NFL power rankings on ESPN.com. Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah, Dave. I don't have to get ready if I stay ready, so let's do it.
Okay. All right. Even a little music would be delightful right now. Oh, and there it is. The NFL music. Let's start. I'm going to throw out some random teams. You guys will tell me where you think they rank, and then we'll get to the Jets and Giants in just a moment. Who do you think is worse? 32 teams. The last ranked team in the NFL, according to the power rankings, is?
The Detroit Lions.
They are 31. Carlin, for the win, who's 32?
The Houston Texans.
That is correct. The Houston Texans check in as the worst team in the NFL. Detroit not far behind. They are 31. Let's go all the way to the top. The number one team in the NFL is, Canty?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Carlin?
Same.
No, both wrong. What? It is the team that Tampa Bay beat in the Super Bowl. The Kansas Chiefs? City Chiefs are number one. Tampa Bay checks in. Tampa Bay checks
in. Brought everything back for Pete's sake. You know?
Tampa Bay checks in at number two. Who's number three?
Number three team.
May I?
The Rams?
The Rams?
The Buffalo Bills.
Carlin is correct. The Bills are three. The Rams are four. Where do the Packers fall in here?
With or without Aaron Rodgers.
I guess that's up to you right now.
I'm going to say the Packers are...
Well, let me just tell you this. They are, from where they're ranked, I would say with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. I'm going to say the Packers are... Let's go six.
Six, Carlin?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
You're both right there. The Packers are five, right behind the LA Rams. Let me quickly scroll through here and see if anything else catches my eye. Browns are seven, Seahawks eight, Niners nine, Titans are high. They're number 10. All right, let's go with the locals. The New York Football Giants. Canty, the New York Football Giants.
I'm going to go low 20. So let's say 23.
Okay. Carlin?
I'm going to go 19.
You can't beat perfection. Canty with 23 right on the nose. Explain this to me, though. The Giants were 21 after free agency and have now dropped two spots to 23.
They didn't like rookie minicamp, Dave. They didn't like rookie minicamp.
I guess not. I guess they don't like Tony.
They hated the Kelvin Benjamin signing.
Yeah, I guess. And Corey Clement. Player who benefited most from the draft says Daniel Jones. The Giants were going to draft Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. This is Renan who has this little write-up with the 11th pick if they had fallen to that spot. They didn't. Giants were so intent on getting more playmakers for Jones that they still drafted wide receiver Kadarius Toney after trading down to number 20. As if adding Galladay and John Ross and Kyle Rudolph from free agency and getting back Saquon Barkley from a torn ACL wasn't enough. Now Jones has Toney in the mix. Any lack of success from Jones in his third season won't be due to a lack of talent around him. I got to tell you what, guys. If the Giants are 23... that would be a bad season for them. I need and expect the Giants to be better than that.
So you want them to be a top half of the league team, somewhere top 16?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay.
I think the Giants between, 14 and 17 is a reasonable expectation for, year three of the quarterback, year two of the left tackle, year two of the right tackle, you get Solder back, you have Galladay, you have Barkley, you have Rudolph, you have Tony. Yes, I think they should be better than 23.
And this is year four for your general manager, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean,
if they're 23 at the end of the year, it's the general manager's out and the coach is on notice.
See, I don't know the coaches I noticed, but I do believe the general manager.
Yeah, I think the GM is out. I think the coach is the one that's helping to pick the next general manager.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand. Joe Judge, who do you want? This is interesting. Bears 24, and of course the Giants fan will keep an eye on the Bears all year long. All right, where do the Jets fall here, guys? Where do the Jets go?
I'm going to say the Jets are 29th.
Carl.
I'm going to say the Jets are 27th.
I'll split the baby, guys. The Jets check in at number 28, which, Canty, if I had asked you this very same question before free agency or before the draft, you would have been right. They were 29, but they moved up to a powerful 28 since the draft took place. Rich Cimini writes here, player who benefited most from the draft, quarterback Zach Wilson. After drafting Wilson with the number 2 overall pick, the Jets actually gave him some help by following up with 3 consecutive picks on offense. Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter. The previous time they opened a draft with 4 straight choices on offense was 1983. This is a departure from how the Jets built around Wilson's predecessor, Sam Darnold. Wilson already has struck up friendship with Moore, who figures to play immediately. Vera Tucker projects as a day one starter at left guard, and Carter could work his way into playing time in the backfield that lacks a true running back one. Call this draft Wilson and Friends for the Jets in 2021. Bengals 29, Jaguars 30, and like we mentioned, Lions 31, and Texans 32. There are your post-draft power rankings.
Well done.
I disagree with the top of that ranking, though. There's no way that I would put the Chiefs as a team ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No chance. No shot.
They are just overly respecting them for all they've done with the offensive line.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
That's what I think it is.
Well, can we overly respect Jason Light for bringing back all 22 starters and Antonio Brown from a Super Bowl team? That's never happened before.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
It's ridiculous. The team that won the Super Bowl, we're going to put them number 2 to the team that they beat in the Super Bowl.
These Chiefs apologists all over the country. Sham.
Boy, we really struck a nerve with you, huh, Carlin?
Nothing I hate more than people who just can't see things objectively. That's all.
Okay. All right. Now can we make it time?
No, I don't think so.
We're still not going there?
I think you got to wait a couple more minutes.
So at 7:44, by 7:50, will we give this away?
Maybe.
Oh, I should never have turned to you for advice on this. I should have just done it on my own.
Maybe. Now listen, I you got to earn it, don't you?
All right, let's go to Earl in Brooklyn, who's really disappointed in you. Go ahead, Earl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Get in line.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's talk about Colin. Good morning, Colin. You hung up the phone on me a couple of weeks when I said to you that you were very adamant about the trade for Beal and everything, just like Canty and Rothenberg and DiPietro. But that's all right, Chris. I still love you. Canty, I just bought $200 worth of Milky cigars. That's the most I can give you. I'm not rich for your wedding. I'll send them to you wherever you need them.
I appreciate you, man.
I don't have that much money, but you just tell me where you want me to send them, and you can get $10 each. They're Milky cigars. They're great. But the Knicks, okay, I told you the Knicks would finish five games over 500. Now everybody on that team, starting tomorrow or today at practice, must blend into what he's saying on the field, on the basketball court. They must go and follow every rule that Thibodeau was telling them, because they're not experienced in the playoffs, so they got to do it perfectionally.
But Earl, you make it sound as if they didn't do what he told them to do the entire regular season. They obviously have abided by what Tom Thibodeau was selling, and they've done exactly what he's asked. Yes. No,
they got to keep selling the same brand. They can't fall off. There's no room for falling off right now. Do you agree with me, Canty? There's no room. Everybody got to be on the same page consistently.
Yeah, it's not even about falling off. It's about picking it up. Just because the playoffs is a different animal, and as we've talked about, there's not a lot of playoff experience when it comes to the starting lineup for the Knicks. Now, they do have some guys coming off the bench in Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson that have been there, done that. But, I mean, the guys that you're going to be counting on, they haven't been on this stage before. So it'll be interesting to see how they react.
I look at them, and if you're expecting them to be really any different than what they were during the season in terms of paying attention to what the coach is selling, I don't think you're paying attention.
They're going to play hard for you.
Yeah.
They're going to give you all the effort they have. They're not the most talented team in the world, but they're going to give you everything, and they're going to be well coached, and they're going to play a tough brand of basketball. And beyond that, I know what you're looking for.
Yeah, and in the talent department, they have such little margin for error, and they realize that. So they have to give you everything that they have.
Do you doubt for a second that they will?
No.
Listen, the Knicks might lose the series, but they're gonna give you everything they have.
Now, I do wonder if he will make the point guard change, because that's not like just completely shaking up the entire apple cart. It has to be apparent by now that the defense from Elfrid Payton is not outweighing what's going on otherwise.
But I don't think he will, because if you and you're saying start Derrick Rose?
I'm saying don't start Elfrid Payton.
So you're cool with them starting Ntilikina? You want to throw Frank out there?
Do you think it's outlandish to suggest that Frank, if Payton really struggles, is going to get a little bit more run since he defends?
Oh, no, I don't.
I'm not saying there's an ideal answer here.
No, I don't think that's completely outlandish, Carlin.
It's just because of the absurdity of the situation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, and there's an argument to be made that maybe Frank, because of the matchup with Trae Young, you know, his length will be able to give Trae some problems, especially in pick-and-roll situations. Like, I get how you could make a case for that, but, I mean, that just tells you how bad your starting point guard position really is.
Bad. I mean, it's the worst part of the team right now. Kevin and Nutley. Kevin, you're next up on 98.7.
Perfect timing, fellas. Good morning. I don't know how Tibbs does it at this point, but I do think the move you make right now in order, because I do think the Knicks have to win this series, fellas. I do. I think they're the better team, inexperienced or not. I think you do need to start Ntilikina and bench Elfrid Payton, as crazy as it sounds. Ntilikina will play hard. Let him use up some of those fouls on Trae Young. He's been shooting the three at over 40%, which Elfrid Payton can't hit, can't hit the ocean with a rock. And I think you keep Derrick Rose with that second unit, and I think you let him continue to do what he's doing, close out games. And, I mean, when you look at Payton's effort, how do you have your teammates look at that, especially your young guys, when you're trying to get out of the first round here? So, yeah, it sounds crazy and outlandish. I would agree with that, Canty, but I think Ntilikina needs to start and keep Derrick Rose where he is in order to win this series, because the Knicks have to win this series, fellas. They have to.
No, Kevin, I said it didn't sound outlandish. I don't think it's completely crazy or out of left field to consider it. I just don't know what Tibbs' appetite for doing that at this point would be, because you've seen what this formula has gotten you in terms of being able to get you a top four seed in the East. Like, I don't know that he wants to go and make a whole lot of changes, knowing that this team doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Like, you don't really want to go tweaking things or changing things if something has been working for you, especially against an opponent that you swept in the regular season. I don't know.
The one thing that I will say is it can't mean more minutes to Derrick Rose. I can't pushing him up to 39, 40.
Agreed.
Yeah, it can't be more minutes for Rose, Dave, nope. And you have to keep that second unit intact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I Ntilikina, I guess I'm hesitant to say go with him, but it can't mean Rose starts the game and plays the first 8 minutes, because now all of a sudden he's not in your second unit and you change the entire dynamic of this team.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.